If you would, you want to follow along, please turn to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 17 of Isaiah 45. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray to a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. What I'm going to endeavor to speak to is that last little bit in verse 21, a just God and a Savior. But I had to read all that before. I have a suspicion that most people will have no frame of reference for this message today, because most people think they might know a Savior. But I'm going to tell you this. Most people do not know a just God. They don't know a just God. And here God says, I am both. Not just one. I am both. What I mean by that, most religious, steady, church-going folks will not understand this miracle of grace and mercy and justice. Justice. Some will have no conscious thought about why I'm preaching this, and they'll see no reason for me preaching this, because they don't understand what's the big deal with God being a just God and a Savior. Because they don't understand, this is a miracle of I started to say biblical proportion. No, it's everlasting proportions, this miracle of grace. It's not the Savior concept that the world doesn't get, I said, although they really don't get the Savior concept. They don't get the Savior. It's the concept of a just God that doesn't even enter the minds of most people. Most people can go through their whole lives and they'll never think of anything having to do with them needing punishment for sin. They never think of sins as an act against God, an offense unto a holy God, an attack on a righteous God. But that's what sin is. They think God forgives just by wishing it. That's what they believe. But God says different. Now, I'm not going to use any big theological terms. I'm just going to use those four glorious words of the Scripture. Thus saith the Lord. That's all we need. He's told us more than we can ever understand. And he's told us here what's going on. Verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? This is absolutely nothing new, not even in Isaiah's time, which was hundreds of years ago. It's absolutely nothing new. But those first two words, tell ye. You tell them. You tell them. What am I to do? What are you to do? Tell ye. Tell ye them. Now, we're not all preachers, but we are all witnesses if you know Christ. Will they hear when you tell them? I don't know. I don't know. And tell them anyway. That's what he says. He didn't say, tell only those who will listen. He just says, tell them. And who is he talking to? Well, at the end of, who are we supposed to tell this to? It says at the end of verse 20, where it says, ye that are escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Understand? We've got a message for sinners. Now, God has to make the sinner hear. But we have a message. Thus saith the Lord. Now, let's be clear. See, people want to say, oh, this is the Old Testament. They were worshiping a graven image. We know that's wrong. We know that's wrong. You know, some of them, you know, had a golden statue. Dagon, whoever. That's not all. And that's not the only God who can't save. Because I'll tell you this right now. Well, it doesn't matter whether you pray to an idol of wood or if you pray to a God who has done all he can do, and now it's up to you. You're praying to a God who can't save. That's exactly what you're doing. Because you're just admitting it when you say that he's done all he can do, and now it's up to you. You just said he can't save. Because now it's up to you. You understand? People are so depraved, they don't even understand the logic of their own statements. The true message of Arminianism, of free will, is that God didn't do enough. That's what it comes down to. The Bible never speaks that way. Not ever, not in one place. What did he say? Verse 17, but Israel shall be saved. But he didn't just stop there. He said they're going to be saved in the Lord. In the Lord. With an everlasting salvation. And you shall not be ashamed nor confounded. What? World without end. World without end. Guess what? That's what everlasting means. It's not going to end. It's not going to end. Who has declared that all Israel shall be saved? The Lord. And who is to tell them? We are. We are. We let all who know the Lord praise His holy name. Sing His songs, tell of His love for His Son and for His people. Oh, by the way, that's the same love. That's the same love. Ah, I like that. Read His word, speak your testimony, and praise His holy name. Praise this one who is what? The Lord, a just God, and a Savior. Thus saith the Lord, I am a just God, and a Savior, and a Savior. This is the part the world doesn't get. This is the part that the religious world may pay lip service to, but they don't really believe that God is just. How dare I say something like that? Well, I said it because Christ said it. And Christ said it, quoting Isaiah 29. In verse 13, I was going to read that. This people honoreth me. Oh, 28. Sorry about that. Wherefore, the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. Far from me. And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. You understand? Christ told them, you care more and believe more in your own traditions than you do God. Than you do the Christ of God. Than you do the Messiah of God. In Mark 7:6, he put it this way. He said, well, as Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, fakers. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Because the natural man will honor his traditions over thus saith the Lord every time. You understand, that was one of the things I found out about the Catholic Church. You know why the Catholic Church is not that concerned with this book? It's because that's not all they have. They have the writings of the fathers, as they call it. They have the traditions of the church. Listen, if your tradition's not here, your tradition belongs nowhere. And that's the truth of God. A just God, here spoken, means a righteous God. A holy God. He is light. God is light. He's not the light, although He is. He says God is light. You understand? It's not like He's a bulb and there is. No, He's the light. What does that mean? Well, it means that in Him, there is absolutely no darkness at all. At all. No darkness. So what am I driving at? That means that in Him is absolutely no sin. It means that in the presence of God, no sin is acceptable. So lots of people think, well, God will just overlook that. I had a man one time told me, well, he didn't tell me, he told a friend of mine, and the friend of mine talked to me. He said, because this gentleman espoused some religious beliefs. He went to church regularly. Now, he drove all the way to Christiansburg so he could go to a bigger church, but he went to church religiously. And I mean that in the worst possible moment, you know, worst possible way. He says, what in the world do you think God's going to say to you? My friend asked him this. When you go up there and you've been doing all this blind, being a salesman. And that's what he did, folks. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. And this is what my friend asked him about it. And he said, oh, God won't mind. That's just business. And that's the way people think. You understand? And it may not be that they think, oh, it's just business. They may think, oh, well, everybody's human. Yes, we are. But that's not an excuse. That's the problem. We are human. We are fallen, depraved creatures. You understand? We were so bad, we got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And deserved to be kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Matter of fact, we asked for it. He told our mother and father Eve what not to do, so guess what they did? They did what he told them not to do. They sinned. But in the presence of God, there is no sin that is acceptable. And it never has been acceptable. And it never will be acceptable. Because he is a just God. He is of purer eyes than to behold evil. He is a just God. It says in the scriptures that the Lord cannot look upon iniquity. He is a just God. He will in no wise acquit the wicked. He's a just God. He will never clear the guilty. And here it is, folks. He's a just God. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. That's how bad. And it doesn't say sin's a lot. Sin's really bad, Walter. No, it's just the soul that sins. Paul tells him, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. And trust me, folks, we've offended in more than one point. I'm reminded there's 10 commandments. Guess what? I break every one every day. I don't like it. I don't want to. But I know what I am. Yes, everybody is human. Everybody is human. And if you think you keep the 10 commandments, you're fooling yourself. Or somebody else is fooling you. Might be deceived. He's a just God, and he said he will punish sin. And what does that mean? That means he will punish sin. I'll go this far. He must. He must punish sin. Why? He's just. He's a just God. The penalty is death, and a just God will enforce that penalty, or he'll be unjust. Now, you understand? See, that's what the world doesn't understand. By their thinking that God can just wish away sins for no particular reason or just ignore some, they're saying God's unjust. Right. Right. You understand? I mean, this is an affront to the holiness of God that we will have right all around us in churches innumerable today. They will proclaim, without saying it, that God is unjust. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry about it. No, he's the just God. Because here's one of those stubborn statements, Walter. God is either absolutely just, Or he's not. And I'm going to tell you this. God is just. Whether we know it or not, God's just. Whether we like it or not, God is just. Whether we want it or not, God is just. You understand? Just because you may not like what God does, that doesn't make God unjust. That usually just means that you're ungrateful. Because he is just. Everything he has done, is doing, and shall do is right. It is righteous. It is righteousness. However you want to say it. Because we're the ones with the problem, not God. Because we are unjust. How unjust are we? We are so unjust. So corrupt. It takes the grace and the power of God to even get an inkling of recognizing that God is just. I never cared before. It never entered my mind before to even think about whether or not God was just, Walter. It didn't make any sense to me. Why would I concern myself with that? And here lately, I can't get away from it. About Mason over there mulling on stuff. I'm usually mulling on something. Pondering. Confused. He's just whether we know it or not. He's just whether we like it or not. He's just whether we recognize it or not. And he's just whether we care or not. Because he's just. He is just. Period. Put it there right now. He said it. I am a just God. A just God. But thanks be to God, that's not all he is. He says, I am a just God and. Now that and is that conjunction. That's not a theological term, that's English grammar. He's going to tie these two things together. I am a just God and a Savior. You know, I'm not a just God, but I'm a Savior. No. He's both at the same time. He's both at the same time. The one who cannot look upon my sins is my Savior. He's my Savior. The one who said, the soul that sins shall surely die. He's my Savior. He's the Savior. How is this possible? How can the Lord, who hates sin, who must punish sin, how can he be my Savior? Well, there's only one way. And that's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ, the righteous. He told us in his gospel. He told us in his gospel. But before I go to this, I'm going to point this out. If you take a look here, just for a minute, in verse 17 of Isaiah 45, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Israel's going to be saved. And I agree with John Gill saying this. That's the Israel of God. You understand? When he gets down to verse 25, in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be what? Justified. Guess what? That's the Israel of God. Talking about the seed. And the seed's Christ. But anyhow, verse 18, thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself formed the earth and made it, hath established it, and he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. Who is that talking? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is Jesus Christ. Because you can look in Colossians chapter 1 and 16 and 17, he says, guess what? Nothing was made except him. He made it. Jesus Christ, Paul writing, everything that was made, the heavens, the earth, the under the earth, all humans, all people, everything that was made by Christ. That's who's speaking here. And guess what? He keeps on going and says, Jesus Christ is the just God and the Savior. Now, you want to see a just God and a Savior together? Let's go to Mark chapter 15 for two verses. Mark chapter 15, beginning verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, There was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where will you find a just God and a Savior? You will find Him at Calvary. You will find Him on the cross. You understand what Paul told these people? It was in Corinth. I've determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know what Paul was also saying? I've determined to know nothing among you except a just God and a Savior. Because that's Christ crucified. Here you find sin punished in a perfect substitute. Here we see the perfect sacrifice of God Himself. We see our kinsman Redeemer suffering willingly the justice of God. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. God manifest in the flesh with no sin of His own, bearing the sins of His people. God being forsaken by God. God the Father forsaking God the Son. Martin Luther pondered this. And it said that he spent a few hours looking at this scripture, looking at it, and looking at it, and saying it over again, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I don't know how long he looked at it, but Luther came to a conclusion. He said, no man can know how God could forsake God. And I agree. I don't know how he could do it. Bless God that he did. Thank God that he did. I don't know how he could do it, but bless God, praise his name, I know why he did it. That's what I like. Oh, I'm telling you. Oh, you can repeat it again and again. Right here in his death upon the tree, I can tell you why God forsook God. He did it. Because he made him to be sin. Who knew no sin? And I did not say, folks, that he made Jesus Christ a sinner. Because I don't believe that. But he made him to be sin. If our sins were laid upon him. And he bore our sins in his body on the tree. And guess what, folks? Justice demanded that he be forsaken. Justice demanded. A just God demanded that he die for those sins. There were none of his own, but he did die. Sin was punished in the Son of God on a tree 2,000 some years ago. He hung on a cross as a criminal. He died the death of the malefactor. I like that word. I like to say malefactor. That's what it means. A criminal. He died between two thieves. Took one of them to glory with him. But he died between two thieves. He was numbered with the transgressors. Guess who wrote that? Isaiah did. Yeah. He was numbered with the transgressors. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And what? By his stripes ye are healed. You know what that is? That's a just God and a Savior. And it says here, and also in Isaiah, and the Lord has seen the travail of what? His soul. His soul. Not mine. His soul. But guess what? And is satisfied. Satisfied. Who's satisfied? A just God is satisfied. Ah, what's that mean? If you're in Him, you don't owe a thing. You owe nothing. Because He either paid it all, there's one of them, you know, stubborn statements. Jesus Christ either paid it all or He didn't. And I'll tell you this for free, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. And if it's not His blood, yours ain't going to do you no good. All those sins that were laid on Jesus Christ, those sins that He bore in His body on the tree, all that God made Him to be sin, of the sin and sins of all of His people, are gone. They are absolutely gone because a just God is satisfied. You understand? He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you know what? If you're in Christ, you will never, ever have to say that. You will never say that. Why? Because He did. He did. That's a just God and a Savior. A just God and a Savior has reconciled us to Himself. He's reconciled us to God. See, this is the thing. You can either have one, or you can have both, a just God and a Savior. But you don't get to pick the one you get. So you understand, you're either going to be dealing with a just God, or you're going to be dealing with a just God and a Savior. Because here's the thing. If God never decided to choose and save a people, guess what? He's still a just God. He always was a just God. He'll always be a just God. But to some, He is a just God and a Savior. Oh, I like that. I do. Because this is the covenant between the Father and the Son and the Spirit right here. A just God and a Savior. Ah, this was the plan all along. Isaiah's writing this hundreds of years before Christ came. It was prophesied in the garden before we got kicked out. You sin, you're on your way out, but before that, I'm going to clothe you in skins. Now, I know it doesn't say that, but somewhere, somehow, blood was shed to get those skins. Somehow, somewhere, Adam found out about offering sacrifices to God. It just doesn't tell us, folks. And Cain and Abel knew about it, and Abel blew it off. Why? Because he didn't think he was dealing with a just God and a Savior. He was dealing with a just God. And he found out. This is the covenant between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Here it is. Romans 3 and verse 26. Well, let me read 25 first because I love it. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, Jesus Christ, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the, what? Forbearance of God. Now, Jesus Christ bore them. He's not forbearing with us on our own account. He's forbearing with us on Christ's account. Through the forbearance of God, here, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness. Because a just God is a righteous God. That He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You understand? Just and justifier. What's that mean? That's a just God and a Savior. That's what that is, folks. A just God and a Savior. He's just and the justifier. How? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the blood of His Son. What? But
it does say this, of him which believes in Jesus.
Understand, if you don't believe Christ, you got no reason to think you're dealing with anybody other than a just God. If you don't believe Christ, you got no reason to think you are justified. And that's what the scriptures say. I mean, you can talk about the elect, and I believe the elect wholeheartedly. But you understand, it's him which believeth in Jesus. He'll bring you to it. But if you don't believe him, don't worry about your election. Worry about knowing a just God and a Savior. Look here at verse 22. Because God had a little more to say. I am a just God and a Savior, and there is what? None beside me. So what are we supposed to do? Look unto me. Now I'm going to say it this way. Look to Christ. Look to, that's who's talking here. That's who's talking. See, people got this I won't say stupid idea, but it's a silly idea, okay? I'll be nice. People have this silly idea. In the Old Testament, that's God. That's the Father. That's the mean one, Walter. And in the New Testament, that's Jesus, and he's sweet and meek and mild. They don't read nothing. They don't read a thing. Because you read the Gospels, and you won't ever see a meek and mild Jesus that way. Not a wimp. You'll see him, and he looked some folks in the eye and told them, "You're of your father, the devil." And guess what? He was a liar from the beginning, and you're a liar now, and his works you're going to do. I don't want him to talk to me that way. But he did talk that way to people. This is Christ here. Look unto Christ. What? And be ye saved. All the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Ah. I know it says a just God and a Savior, but I'm going to say it this way. The just God and the Savior. The only Savior. The only God. He said, there's none beside me. You understand? I told you a little bit of Colossians 1, 16 and 17. All things were made by him. All things were made by him. And for him, and by him, all things, what? Consist. You understand? I know the most relevant thing that most people think about is the heavens and the earth and under the earth and people and animals and stars and suns and planets. But here's one other thing. He made all things and not anything was made without him. It's his salvation. He made that salvation. A just God and a Savior made that salvation. And by him does his salvation consist. And that's why he says, Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You know why? Because by him, his salvation consists. And only by him. Our salvation was made by him, and there is none else. Last thing, last verse. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. That word justified right there in verse 25 is the verb form of verse 21. A just God. You understand? The same thing. We have the justification, the righteousness of a just God and a Savior. We have the righteousness of Christ. That's what that means. You know? Just if I never sinned. Well, that's part, but it ain't all. Because it's just as if I'd done everything right. You know, not only did I not sin in God's sight, I've done everything right in God's sight. Why?
because he's a just God and a Savior. He's the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. I'm not righteous in me, but in Christ I am perfectly, completely holy, just like God said I was going to be. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, thank God he wasn't telling me to be holy. He said, no, you're going to be holy in my Son. You're going to be holy in a just God and a Savior. And thanks be to his holy name. The world thinks this is just crazy Jesus stuff. The religious world thinks it's no big deal. But I know this. A just God and a Savior tells me that God is love. He loved us and gave himself for us. A just God and a Savior did that. You understand? Jesus Christ didn't become manifest in the flesh. I started to write this down, and I marked it out. Jesus came into the world manifest in the flesh. He came a just God, and I put to become our Savior. And I marked it out because it's wrong. He didn't come to become our Savior. He's always been our Savior. Understand? He was as a lamb which had been slain from before the foundation of the world. Isaiah's writing it here, you know, hundreds of years before Christ. He didn't come to become our Savior. He came because he was our Savior. The eternal Son is our eternal just God and Savior. And thanks be to his holy name. He chose to save his people from their sins. And he did it. And he fully satisfied. Why? Because he is a just God and a Savior. And all I can say about that is amen. Our Father, thank you for this time, this place. Oh, but Lord, most of all for your Son. I wish I could preach him the way he should be preached. I wish I could extol his virtues, his blessings, his gifts, his work, the way it should be. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given us, the knowledge of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with Walter as he comes to preach your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.